Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. It has been a while since I have done online streaming, so there was a bit of hiccup. I hope you can all bear with that. Let's first begin with a prayer. Let's pray together. Dear Lord God, we dedicate today to you, although we are in the middle of the typhoon, but Lord, you are with us and let us know your will through your word, that we may grant wisdom and understanding and reveal to us your will. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, let's see. Okay. Well, anyone know what this sign is? When I was driving across Malaysia from Kuala Lumpur to Ipoh on the highway, I often come across this sign. Anyone know what this is? Well, it stands for Rest and Refreshment after 108 kilometers. So this is the R&R place. So you can see all the cars parked in front of the buildings and then the food court. Wow, I love the food there actually. Well, when we drive long distances, drivers have to be aware of micro sleep. You know what micro sleep is? Micro sleep occurs when the driver briefly falls asleep for half a second to a few seconds without realizing it. And it's often caused by fatigue or lack of sleep. It can be very dangerous because even a momentary lapse in attention may lead to a serious accident. And that is the exact reason behind many road accidents. And the key to preventing micro sleep? Well, rest. Rest well and rest often. When we ignore rest, we put lives at risk on the road. In the same way, when we ignore God's gift of Sabbath, we put our hearts, our families, and ministries at risk. And today I want us to look at how God designed rest, not just to keep us alive, but to revive us. The idea of rest, the Sabbath, it's a central theme in the Bible, but a lot of Christians, we don't fully understand the theology of the Sabbath. So today we are going to take a good look at the theology of the Sabbath and how it impacts our lives. To understand the Sabbath, let us go back to where it all began, Genesis. We just read the passage from Genesis. In Genesis here, it says, after 6 days, God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And if you remember from my sermon a few months ago, the Hebrew words here are tov, tov. Remember, tov, tov. Okay, where tov means good, and when the same word repeated, tov, tov, that means very good. And well, here we might think creating the whole universe would make God very tired, but that is not the point of the text. As we see, Jesus in John chapter 5, he said to the Pharisees, and this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because Jesus was performing miracles during the Sabbath. Okay, but Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. Jesus was telling the Pharisees, God never stopped working. So why then does Genesis said God rested? The Hebrew verb translated rested here is the verb shavat, verb form of Sabbath. This verb actually means to cease or to stop from doing something, rather than to rest in the silence of recovering from fatigue. So here it just means God ceased from doing his work of creation, because he had made the creation the way he wanted, and nothing else was to be added at that time. Now, some of our co-workers like to build models, in particular the Gundam series of models. Do we have anyone here who likes to build models? And a lot of people like to create sceneries for their Gundam models. Okay, wow, fantastic. Every minute detail in these sceneries is made to perfection to make them look realistic. Making these sceneries is very time consuming. Well, imagine you are the maker of one of these sceneries. After spending days and nights building the models, putting on the paint to the smallest detail, making the scene, all those works, finally you have completed the scenery to how you imagine it to be. What do? Immediately start another one? Well, probably not. If it's me, I would make a cappuccino and then grab a comfortable chair, then sit in front of this proud work of mine to look at it, just to enjoy. So we can imagine God, after completing his project of creation, he took a break to enjoy this beautiful craftsmanship of his. And Proverbs 8 told us exactly that. When he, which means the Father, established the heavens, I, well, in the proverb, is the personification of wisdom. And in theology, we understand that as the Son of God. I was there when he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. Well, can you imagine the Son of God dancing, rejoicing because of this creation God the Father created? So God rested on the seventh day, not because he was tired, but he intentionally took a break to enjoy the beautiful work he did and rejoice in it. And Genesis said, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Making something holy means to set it apart for a special purpose. Here, God set apart the seventh day as a special day to commemorate the milestone of finishing his creation. It's like a universe day to commemorate the birth of the universe, the creation. Unlike national days celebrated once a year, God sets this celebration every week so we won't forget him, inviting us to join him in enjoying his work and the gift of life. Now, many Christians are so busy doing things for God. Okay, we think we are serving God, so we ought to keep ourselves busy. But we forget to take time to enjoy God's work and the gift of life. Sabbath calls us to pause, worship, and receive life itself, again, as a precious gift from God. We ought to find, well, we ought to ask ourselves, when was the last time you simply enjoyed God and His creation without trying to achieve anything? The Sabbath is also to rest and remember. Let us turn to Exodus chapter 20. Here is the fourth commandment. Let us read together. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, let us pay attention. The fourth commandment to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy is grounded in God's creation of the world and His resting to enjoy it on the seventh day. We should note that in this fourth commandment, the primary command is to remember. The primary command, the imperative, is to remember. What to remember? To remember, this is a special day God set apart to commemorate His work of creation, so that we may also rejoice in it. To keep it holy, that means to treat it as a special day and to not do any work. These are not the major focus in this commandment. Well, of course, they are part of what it takes to remember the Sabbath day. But the Jewish rabbis got it all wrong. They made the part that says not do any work the primary focus and made people obey a rigid set of rules. Now, if we also look at this fourth commandment in another passage, when after 40 years from God giving the Ten Commandments after the Israelites came out of Egypt, Moses spoke to the next generation of Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let us read. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. Up to this part, it was much the same as Exodus. Let's notice the next part. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched hand arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Here in Deuteronomy, after 40 years, the Sabbath is also tied to freedom from enslavement in Egypt. Now, let's understand this. As a slave in Egypt, there was no day off, no sick leave, no annual leave for the Israelite slaves. Life in Egypt was crushing. Work and work and more work until death. No freedom, no space to enjoy God's work of the creation and to rejoice in life. It's like living in a nightmare that never ends. But God liberated the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, and the Sabbath day now has another layer of meaning, resting to rest from slavery. The Israelites, they do not have to do what they used to do in Egypt anymore. They can now enjoy life and rejoice in God. But during Jesus' time, as I mentioned, the Jewish rabbis, the Pharisees, they turned Sabbath into a set of rigid rules, so rigid that people in fact became slaves to those rules. That's why Jesus was angry with the Pharisees, because they turned the Sabbath from a joyful day of remembering God's creation and liberation into a heavy burden. So many rules that people became slaves to the rules instead of resting in God. For example, even in today's Israel, some Sabbath elevators in buildings are programmed to stop at every floor. So, if you are staying in one of those buildings and you want to go outside, you are on the 20th floor, too bad. You just go to stand in front of the elevator, wait for it to go from level 1, level 2, level 3, and then stop at every floor until it gets to 24. Okay, then what you do, the door open, you enter and wait for the door close, and then you will continue to go up 21st floor, 22nd floor, up, and then the elevator comes down. When it comes down, it stops at every floor. All of this is to avoid work, so no one has to work by pressing a button. But it can turn the day into a maze of tedious rules and inconvenience instead of joyful rest. So, our Egypt may not be making bricks like the Israelites did in Egypt, but we may be enslaved to work, schedules, social media, and endless expectation, even when we are on holiday, supposedly enjoying the rest. If you cannot stop looking at your social media during worship, you are living as a slave to it. Well, this is not to condemn you. I also committed that. But this is a reminder to help you see what Christ wants to set you free from. So, next, Sabbath is also rest and replenish. Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, Jesus said to them, the Pharisees, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." God instituted the Sabbath for the benefit of His people. It's a day of rest that our strength may replenish. There's even a longer rest in Moses' law. In Leviticus chapter 25, God commanded. Let's read. "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, 'When you come into the land that I give you, the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years you shall sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its fruit. But in the 7th year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard. You shall not reap what grows of itself in your harvest, or gather the grapes of your undressed vine. It shall be a year of solemn rest for the land. It's a whole year of rest here we are talking about. Here, God commanded a year of rest such that the land may replenish its nutrients so that it may return to a fertile state in order to produce good fruit. Now, thinking about it, in the agricultural world those days, what can people do when they did no work on the land at all? Not much. Well, they might do some chores at home, but they had no radio, no TV, no smartphone, no internet. They didn't have fast, comfortable, and convenient transportations like we do. And the majority of people would not think of visiting a foreign land as tourists because it would be dangerous. They stay home in their village during the Sabbath year, letting land and people recover. Now, in our world, by contrast, we never stop. We travel, we shop, we scroll, we binge watch, we check messages, we fill up every quiet space and moment. Even on a holiday, we simply switch to different kinds of busyness. We hate boredom. Now, honestly, I also don't like to get bored. So, we keep scrolling the smartphone and mindlessly during worship because we want to keep ourselves busy so we won't feel the boredom. But let me tell you, getting bored is good for our mental health. Here is an excerpt from Neuroscience News. Okay. Boredom is good for you. Why embracing it calms the brain? Well, in summary, it says, boredom, often seen as a negative state to avoid, may actually serve an important role in emotional regulation and brain health. When we are bored, the brain shifts away from external attention networks and activates introspective systems like the default mode network, encouraging creativity and self-reflection. That means when we get bored, our neural activity gets stronger. The interconnection is much more active, and we become more creative, and we come up with more ideas. Our mental health gets replenished during those boring times. Well, it's just God's design for us. Sabbath replenishment means allowing boredom and silence, time when we are not producing, not consuming, but simply being before God, so that He can restore our minds and hearts. So, God commanded Sabbath for the benefit of His people to rest, refresh, and replenish. Modern people think rest is a waste of time. Therefore, we need to fill ourselves with activities. When we are on holiday, we want to make the most out of that once-in-a-lifetime destination. Hey, we don't know when we are coming back to this place again, so we ought to visit every place. And so we keep ourselves so busy. We become exhausted during our holidays, and we didn't enjoy it. And modern people cannot stand being bored, constantly looking for stimulations, leaving no room for rest and replenishment. Well, As you all know, I will start taking a 3-month sabbatical leave from tomorrow. My sabbatical is meant to get rest and replenishment, and I'm so thankful for the church for not requiring staff to do any research or further study or write a 100-page report for what we have done, meaningful things we have done during the Sabbath. We can just rest. Unlike a lot of institutions like the universities, when the well, you know, the professors, they also get a sabbatical leave every 7 years, but the universities requires the professors to go dig into research and write papers during the sabbatical, so it's not much rest at all. My sabbatical is meant to get rest and replenishment, time for the Lord to refill what regular ministry has poured out, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Now, to be honest, in recent months, I forget things easily. During the VBS in the past few days, I forget a lot of things. And on Friday, I needed to bring a remote presenter from my office to, well, my office is located in the opposite building to the church site. And I need to run back and forth often. And I needed to get a remote presenter from my office and take it to the VBS venue in our church building. 3 times I was reminded. And guess what? 3 times I forgot. So our speaker, Pastor Ursula, she had to do without a remote presenter. Well, probably this is not due to my dementia. I don't think I'm getting dementia yet. It's actually an alert signal for me that mentally I'm reaching my limit. I just had too much stuff in my head, and my mental capacity for remember things and handling tasks is running dry. It's like driving on the highway of ministry. I'm getting fatigued and already falling into moments of micro sleep. So the sabbatical is timely. It's not a luxury, it's a way to obey the pattern of Sabbath rest so that I can return with renewed strength, clearer vision, and better memory. And as I step back, it's also an opportunity for God to show that Jesus is the one who continually sustains and shepherds our congregation and this ministry. So, in conclusion, Sabbath is God's gift for His people to rejoice, remember, and replenish. Okay. Rejoice in the work of God and the gift of life. Remember our Lord, the freedom He has given us from slavery under sin and His ordinances. And replenish holistically, that means spiritual, mental, and physical health. When we rejoicingly cease from work, remember our freedom in Christ and allow God to replenish us. The rest is that our hearts, our relationships, and our ministries are revived. Sabbath rest is God's way of reviving His people. This is why Sabbath still matters for the modern church. We are not machines, we are not slaves, and we are not saviors of our own lives. We belong to the Lord of the Sabbath, and because we belong to Him, we are free to stop, to worship, and enjoy the gift of life under His grace. Now, if you are tired, Sabbath is God's invitation to come out of your Egypt. Stop striving for a moment. Let go of your slavery to work or screens. And let the Lord teach you again how to rejoice, remember, and replenish, and be revived. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for creating this universe. It's a beautiful world we live in. Although because of sin, the world is no longer the original, very good world you have created. But still, we can see its beauty. And we look forward to the day when Jesus come again to this earth to renew the heaven and the earth, so that once again we may fully enjoy in your perfect creation, your new creation in the future. Meanwhile, Lord, we thank you. You have even made the Sabbath a commandment so that we won't have to work ourselves like a slave. But Lord, we confess that too often we forget, especially in our society. Even at night, we cannot get rest because we have light, we have televisions, we have internet. We cannot truly rest. And even during our holidays, we just keep ourselves busy in our travels. And even on Sundays, when we come to worship, a lot of times we cannot stop looking at the smartphone. We just scroll the screen mindlessly. Lord, forgive us and help us to once again keep your commandment. Keeping the Sabbath. Getting some rest. And let our mind be refreshed by your grace. And Lord, we continue to dedicate to you today. Maybe you have sent us this typhoon to remember we need to get some rest. So Lord, be with us and let us be glad in you. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.